Skip Heitzig points out that there's a very good reason why Jesus didn't shy away from tough topics like God's wrath.
Imagine if a doctor, say an oncologist, asked a postal worker or a courier, a messenger, to hand deliver a letter to a patient that said, "You have cancer." What if the courier said, "I don't like sad news. I don't like to deliver anything except happy, wonderful, joyful news, so I refuse to hand deliver that letter." We would call that an unfaithful messenger.
Make the connection.
It's not uncommon when a tragedy like the tsunami of 2005 or Hurricane Katrina occurs to hear people talk about the wrath of God. The levels of destruction and devastation that resulted from those natural disasters certainly seemed almost supernatural. But as we'll discover today here on The Connection, when God decides to pour out His wrath on the earth, there'll be no mistaking it for anything else. And Skip Heitzig will begin our study here in just a moment. You know, the Bible talks a lot about the coming judgments of God, and you can learn more about those future events by attending a prophecy conference right in your home. And here's how.
9 years ago, headlines around the world reported on a terrorist attack that was beyond imagination.
The second building that was hit by the plane has just completely collapsed. The entire building has just collapsed.
For many, life has never been the same since that fateful day. Yet as tragic as 9/11 was, it pales in comparison with what the Bible reveals will take place when the end times culminate. This month, The Connection invites you to take a closer look at what the Bible reveals about future world events with a special collection of teachings from speakers such as Skip Heitzig.
Now, Jerusalem, Israel, is at the very center of God's prophetic program. And because of that, it is also in the crosshairs of Satan's attack throughout history and even today.
Tim LaHaye.
The truth is that there are over 1,000 prophecies in the Bible. Over half of them have already been fulfilled.
Lieutenant General retired Jerry Boykin, Joel Rosenberg, and more. This set of 7 CDs from the recent Preach the Word Prophecy Conference is available this month from The Connection for just $35. Call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org and order your set today. Learn what the Bible says that we'll see in tomorrow's headlines. 7 astounding teachings for just $35 when you call 1-800-922-1888.
Just this year was the 30th anniversary of the eruption of Mount St. Helens, an awesome display of the destructive forces of nature that claimed 57 lives. Yet volcanoes, tsunamis, and hurricanes don't even begin to compare with what's in store for this world when the wrath of God is truly poured out. Stay with us to find out more.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
Open your Bibles once again to Matthew chapter 24. Let's join Skip Heitzig for today's study.
In the year 2006, God came to Noah again, now living in the United States, and said, "Once again, the earth has become wicked and overpopulated, and the end of all flesh is before me. So build another ark and save 2 of every living thing." Then God gave Noah the blueprint, saying, "You've got 6 months to build the ark before I send rain for 40 days and for 40 nights. 6 months later, God said, "Noah, I'm about to start the rain. Where is the ark?" Noah said, "Sorry, Lord, but things have changed. I needed a building permit. My neighbors claim I violated the neighborhood zoning laws by building an ark in my yard. and I have exceeded the height limitations. We had to go to the Development Appeal Board for a decision. Then the Department of Transportation demands a bond be posted for future costs of moving power lines to clear the passage for the ARC's move out to sea. I told them the sea would be coming to us, but they would hear nothing of it. Getting the wood was another problem, Lord. There's been a ban on cutting local trees in order to save the spotted owl. I tried to convince the environmentalists that I needed the wood to save the owls, but no go. When I started gathering animals, the animal rights groups sued me, saying I was confining wild animals against their will. They said the ARC is too restrictive, cruel, and inhumane to put so many animals in a confined space. Then the EPA ruled that I couldn't build an ARC until they conducted an environmental impact study on the proposed flood. Lord, I'm still trying to resolve a complaint with the Human Rights Commission on how many minorities I should hire for a building crew. The trade unions say that I can't use my sons. They insist that I have to hire only union workers with ARC building experience. Then the IRS seized all my assets, claiming I'm trying to leave the country illegally with endangered species. So, forgive me, Lord, but it's going to take at least 10 years for me to finish the ARC. Suddenly, the skies cleared, the sun began to shine, and the rainbow stretched across the sky. Noah looked up in wonder. You mean, Lord, you're not going to destroy the world? No, God said, the government beat me to it. I shared that little quip tonight. First of all, just so we can poke a little fun at how complicated we have made things over time. And also, frankly, just for a little comic relief, because of the material we're going into tonight. You know, Matthew 24 so far hasn't been a real joyful chapter, has it? It's not a place we frequently resort to when we want comfort. Jesus has been asked a question by the disciples. We know that they expected that Jesus would inaugurate a whole list of things, including bringing in his kingdom. Rather, Jesus says, well, the temple that you see is going to come tumbling down to the ground, and pique their interest. So they want to know when, how, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? They did not expect the answer he was going to give them. So he tells them about a whole list of signs: spiritual deception, war, rumors of wars, famine, earthquakes. And then he says, that's just the beginning of sorrows. Then they're going to turn you over to tribulation. You're going to be hated by all men for my name's sake. Then he predicts the coming abomination of desolation in verse 15. And so it seems like we start with a question and we seem to descend further and further into worse and worse times. And what we're about to read is really the worst of all. And so tonight we're going to look at only two verses, verse 21 and 22, where Jesus continues by saying, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." Those two ominous, sobering verses highlight for us three conditions that exist between God and man. One condition that has existed ever since the fall of man. A second condition that will exist in the future for man as the sin upon the earth accumulates. And the third is a condition that has forever existed between God and man because it's rooted deeply in the character and in the nature of God. So tonight we look at those three conditions: condemnation, tribulation, And then finally, God's mercy at the end, which we have titled compassion. So we want to look at only two verses tonight. As again, I try to take a bigger paragraph, I find that I cannot because there's so much just to plumb the depths of these two verses. So let's begin with the first one, condemnation. And I'm calling it, and it's in your outlines tonight, continual condemnation. Here's why. In verse 21, Jesus begins to introduce a theme to the disciples that is a little bit different than what we have been reading so far. And this new theme gets layered in with all of the aforementioned signs of the coming tribulation that he already spoke about. War, disease, famine, deception, etc. But this is a little bit different. And it highlights something that has been a condition for a long time. Okay. The first 3.5 years of that coming 7-year period, we call it the tribulation. For the most part, there will be natural disasters, earthquakes, famines, wars, rumors of wars. That happens in the natural realm. That's a part of people living on the earth. And then right in the middle of that 7 years, the abomination of desolation, as we have seen. And then the last 3.5 years, rather than focusing on something natural, the emphasis here is on something supernatural. Now Jesus introduces, on top of wars, on top of rumors of wars, on top of earthquakes and famines, now God's wrath being poured out upon the earth. All right. This is, perhaps, the least favorite subject of anyone who reads the Bible. And probably the least favorite subject to preach on for any preacher or teacher of the Bible. Nobody likes to read about or preach about God's wrath. It's just not a popular thing to go through. We don't generally underline these kinds of verses. But imagine if a doctor, say an oncologist, asked a postal worker or a courier, a messenger, to hand deliver a letter to a patient that said, "You have cancer." What if the courier said, "I don't like sad news. I don't like to deliver anything except happy, wonderful, joyful news, so I refuse to hand deliver that letter." We would call that an unfaithful messenger. Jesus Christ faithfully brings the message of God's judgment that is coming upon the earth in Matthew chapter 24. And so here's the theme, and it's an underlying theme, and it's, as I said, a condition that has existed ever since the fall of man. It is called the wrath of God. Now listen carefully. The wrath of God is the permanent and fixed attitude of a holy, righteous God toward an evil, sinful world. It's permanent and fixed. It's not up. It's not down. It's not like that. God has a bad God day and he decides to take it out on the world. It's a permanent, fixed attitude of his wrath toward an evil, sinful world. Paul highlights that. The first chapter of Romans, Paul says, "For the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." God's wrath is linked with God's holiness, God's righteousness. God is holy, God is just, God is righteous. Therefore, God must punish evil. Without wrath, God is not righteous. For God to be righteous, this wrath against sin, where God will eventually deal with it, has to be in place. There's a book that C.S. Lewis put out, perhaps his most famous because it's been made into a movie, called The Chronicles of Narnia. And there's a scene in it, you probably saw the movie or read the book, where C.S. Lewis has these two sisters, Lucy and Susan, getting ready to meet Aslan, the lion. And Mr. and Mrs. Beaver are talking animals in the story. They're going to introduce and get ready these two human beings to meet Aslan. And it's in the point of the conversation where they just find out Aslan is not a human being, but a lion. And Susan is shocked, and she says, oh, I thought he was a human. You mean to tell me he's a lion? Is he quite safe? Asked Susan. I should not know how to meet a lion. And the beaver says, who said anything about being safe? Of course he is not safe, but he is good. Now, that's a very important point in the story because it highlights what we're talking about. God is good. God is righteous because he is never safe concerning evil, but he must judge it, and that's where his wrath comes in. Have you ever heard people say, well, you know, I like the Bible, but I like the New Testament. I don't like the Old Testament because the Old Testament portrays this horrible, vengeful God of wrath, whereas the New Testament pictures a nice, sweet God of grace. Your answer should be, God is the same in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. I just quoted Romans. That's New Testament. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven. So God has never changed his attitude towards sin, ever. You say, what about the cross? Ah, yes. It's the cross of Jesus Christ, whereby if a person applies the blood of Christ to his life and receives Christ as Savior, then the wrath of God skips over that person because he is found in the mercy and the grace of God. At the cross, God's wrath is satisfied. But apart from the cross, there is that constant, fixed attitude toward evil. When did it all start? The wrath of God began in this relationship we have with God at the fall. There's a lot of scriptures for this. I just want to give you a quick snapshot. Again, in Romans chapter 5 this time, in verses 12, 13, and 14, listen to how Paul crafts this statement. Through one man, sin entered the world. Who is that one man? Adam. Through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. And thus death spread to all men, and death reigned from Adam all the way to Moses, who was the lawgiver. So there's a stage. Sin entered. Death entered. Death spread. Death reigned throughout mankind. This is what it means. It means that every single person born, every cute little baby has the same spiritually genetic defect that we all have. And that is a sin nature, a genetic spiritual flaw. Have you ever bitten into an apple and got a worm? I heard a couple yeses. I did a few months ago. I bit into an apple, and I didn't see anything on the outside, and I didn't know anything was there till I bit into it, and I cut a worm in half. Yeah, exactly. And I said that after I swallowed. Okay. But did you know that worms get into apples not from the outside, but from the inside? Yeah, you see, eggs are laid in the blossom of the apple and hatch in the core and then work their way from the core to the surface, not from the surface to the core. Boy, that's how we are. We are born rotten to the core. It's sin is an inside job that infects from the heart. Everybody is born with it, and it works its way to the outside. Folks, that is the whole reason. That's the whole answer. If you wonder, why is the world still so bad after thousands of years of development and education and technology? Because the heart, apart from God's intervention, never changes. So there is this condition of the wrath of God. Now, quickly, there's a couple of words that the New Testament uses that's translated the same word in English, wrath. The first word is thumos. Does that sound familiar to you? We get the word thermos from it, or thermostat or thermometer. Thumos is a word that speaks about an episode of anger, red, hot, burning anger, usually a human being just flying off the handle in an uncontrolled episode of anger. That's thumos. There's a second word. It's the word orge. And it speaks of a constant, controlled, simmering anger or wrath. In the book of Romans, when Paul speaks about the wrath of God being revealed from heaven, he uses the second word. It's that slow, simmering, constant attitude of God toward sinful man. However, in the book of Revelation, when John speaks about the wrath of God, he will often use the first word, thumos, as if to say, here's God who's been patient after year after year after year. He's got this attitude of wrath toward sinful man, but he is held back and he is patient, and now he has had enough. And in the tribulation, there will be that eruption of his anger. Before we get into that, let's look at verse 21. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now we move from this continual, constant condemnation to a temporary or temporal tribulation. See, we know Jesus is speaking of a future short episode of time called the tribulation. But notice what he says. For then there will be great tribulation.
Our day-to-day tribulations will most likely seem pretty trivial when that day arrives, which can certainly help put a bad day into perspective when we take a longer view of life. Well, that's just about all the time we have for today. But before I mention how you can get a copy of today's teaching, I'd like to encourage you to support this ministry as a member of the Global Connectors. And here's more about that.
During the 15th century, the Ming Dynasty built a great wall on China's north border in order to keep nomadic tribes from invading. Some historians believe this immense wall took invading Mongols by surprise.
Oh, where did that come from?
Today, Mongolia itself is being invaded, not by nomadic tribes or conquering armies, but by the gospel of Jesus Christ. This invasion is possible in a large part due to your support of the Global Connectors. Your $25 a month are helping us broadcast sound biblical teaching. Listen to Tom Terry from Eagle TV.
God has just done some remarkable things through the telling of the Bible story and the other projects that we do on Eagle TV, and especially with Skip Heitzig's program, Connection. I mean, we've played a number of those types of programs before and translated them, but none of them have seemed to hit the nerve and get the kind of attention or audience that Skip's program has, which has just done phenomenal. Skip's program is our number two rated program for Eagle Television, with tens of thousands of people watching at any given moment.
Call today and help these efforts continue and expand. It's just $25 a month, but that's a small sum weighed against changing a life for eternity. Call 1-800-922-1888 to sign up for Global Connectors today, or visit connectionradio.org. For now, the walls are down in Mongolia. Help us seize the moment.
And you can also get involved with sharing the gospel by attending the School of Ministry. During your 9 months at the school, you'll learn all you need to be an effective minister of the good news of the Bible. And here's Skip Heitzig to tell us more.
This is Skip Heitzig, and I want to let you know that the Calvary of Albuquerque School of Ministry is back in action for the 2010 school year. If you'd like preparation for ministry, or if you want to take time to get direction for Christian service, our SOM could be just for you. Applications are open to men and women at any age or stage of life. Here's where to get more information about the Calvary of Albuquerque's School of Ministry.
Well, it sounds great, Skip, and our listeners can get signed up by calling 1-800-922-1888. And if you'd like a copy of the message we heard today, just call us at that same number, 1-800-922-1888, or visit our website at connectionradio.org. We'd be happy to send you a copy for just $6 when you contact us. So don't hesitate to call us or email us at info@connectionradio.org. Well, that's going to wrap things up for today, but don't forget you can call us or write us for today's message or any of the other resources we have available. Our mailing address here at The Connection is P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
or place that call at 1-800-922-1888.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
We'll continue to examine what happens when God decides to go to war and what that means for our lives next time. So I hope you'll be able to join us on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.